Well, in case you're wondering, I am Pastor Bert, and we are so happy that you have joined with us together here as we continue our Back to Church series. I'm so thrilled. I've got dear friends from Lethbridge here today that I'm excited to be able to see and share together, and they can see that I haven't changed one single bit. Amen. Well, the theme we've been exploring during this series that we started this month is together. Together, as we draw lessons, we've been drawing lessons from the letter that was written to the early church leaders in the Greek city of Ephesus by the Apostle Paul. But as we start out today, I'd like to just play a little word game. We did this a little bit before when we first started the series, but a little bit different word game this time. I want to show you that some things just go together, right? If you need proof, then I'm going to say a word, and you say the first word that comes to mind, and keep it PG, okay? You laugh. You can just call it out. Ready? First one, Adam and? Good. Good start. Salt and? Hide and? PB and? Who said jelly? PB and jelly? PB and J. No, it's all good. Pros and cons. Ernie and? Hi, how are you? The fact is, we could go on all day with this game, couldn't we? There are just so many things that in our minds and we've come to learn and experience just go together. They've become so closely associated that for us, they're simply inseparable, right? Now, an important question, though, that we need to consider is what is the first thing that people think of when they hear the word church? Boring? Benevolent? Brash? Bigoted? Fun? Faith, family, friendship, fellowship, freedom. You may have a word that comes to mind, but I can guarantee the person sitting next to you probably has a different word, right? There doesn't seem to be just one inseparable association with the word church. Depending on your experience, the association could be positive. Or it could be negative, or typically somewhere in between, right? But what if the word that automatically came to everyone's mind when they heard the word church is love, right? I want to challenge us today to consider, as the church, what it would take to build that inseparable link between church and love. So that the world, when they hear the word church, immediately their first response is, those are people who love. People who love God, people who love me, people who seem to love everyone. Now that might be a tough challenge, right? So how do we get there? Well, I believe that perhaps the first step is that we together as the church, must experience love between one another. Last week, our focus was on Paul's message that together we grow in peace, right? Today, we're exploring, obviously, this concept, together we grow in love. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, addressed the same topic of how, as followers of Jesus, we can experience and grow in our love together. And if you weren't with us last week, we talked a little bit about the city of Ephesus and the church there in Ephesus. And for a quick recap, this group of believers, followers of Jesus, faced challenges really not a whole lot unlike what the church experiences today. They were a group of people living in a fast-paced society surrounded by powerful religions and various philosophies They were a diverse, multi-ethnic, multicultural group themselves, trying to figure out how do we relate to each other and how do we live out our faith in Jesus together. And because he was associated with their challenges, he was familiar with them, Paul emphasized over and over again the importance of togetherness. In understanding the good news about Jesus, the story of his redemptive work that God brought to bring us all together to himself, and how that story impacts our lives personally and impacts the world around us. This was a challenging topic for the church, no doubt. But they discussed Paul's words together, studying and wrestling with his teachings together. And like the early church at Ephesus, we as a church have committed to journeying through this letter together as we study and explore the ideas that Paul presented to them. We want to understand and renew our commitment as a church to be a welcoming community of love and peace, of grace and of impact, of purpose, right? And it's because we're on this journey together, encouraging, supporting each other, walking together to discover the greater purpose and calling of God in our lives as individuals and as a church family. The church, by its very nature, is a place where we're to live and learn, worship and grow so that we can make an impact in this world together. And that's part of the beauty, I think, of the Ephesian letter. In the first half, Paul primarily deals with God's redemptive plan throughout history. It's God bringing humans back together with himself. It was really his master plan, right? And by coming to actually become, being one with humanity, to be together with humanity, Jesus changed everything by fulfilling that plan. As a result, together, we can experience his presence in amazing ways. Together, we can experience peace as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, who is our peace. And as we'll explore today, together we can experience the love of God in our relationship, personally with him and with one another. So, as you have your outline, the first thing we find Paul emphasizing there is that love brings us together. What's love got to do with it? Well, it brings us together here, right? Paul wraps up his description of God's restorative work through all of history, bringing God and humanity back together, as well as bringing all nationalities, all people, all different kinds of cultures together. He culminates in the verses that are going to be where we're going to camp today, the text where we're going to look at. As it all comes back to God's amazing love and life-giving work that he did, which really flows from his love. Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19 say this: I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. That is quite a statement, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What great imagery Paul uses to convey God's vast, limitless love. And since we're playing a few word association games today, let's do a little bit here. Wider than the ocean, wider than the universe, whatever. No matter what the widest thing you can think of, God's love is wider. Longer than, pardon me? Shout it out. Longer than eternity, longer than history, longer than time. Line at the motor vehicles branch. God's love is most definitely longer than that, although sometimes it may not seem like it. And it's longer than eternity. Absolutely. God told his people in ancient times through the prophet Jeremiah, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, an eternal love. Out of faithfulness, I have drawn you close. Next word, higher than the heavens. Ooh, love that. Highest mountain, the moon, the heavens. Deeper than. Yeah. Deeper than the deepest sea, right? Fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what word we use, really, is it? God's love is wider. It's longer. It's higher. It's deeper. It is eternal. It is vast, and it is powerful. And as Paul says, it surpasses knowledge. That's just a first century way of saying it blows your mind. This is the love, the kind of love that we can experience and grow in together as Jesus' church. You see, the one thing about love, this may be a surprise to some of you, but it's relational. It's relational. It's meant to be shared, right? It's meant to be experienced together. You can't love people you have nothing to do with. Love needs an outlet. It needs to be proven through our actions towards another person. It is only together that our ability to actually grasp God's love deepens and grows. And together is a reflection, it's a reflection of God's relationship with us. God dwells with his people so that his love is present when we come together. When we gather, we experience his love in tangible ways. We find support, belonging, acceptance, encouragement, and strength from one another. We're able to see love in other people's lives when it may be cloudy in our own. Coming to church isn't about coming to a building. It's not even about coming to a group. It's about coming together into a shared expression and transformative experience of God's love. Second thing Paul addresses in his letter is about how love builds us up. It builds us up. If all we do is come here once in a while, maybe once or twice a month, even if it's weekly, but all we do is we walk in, we sing a few songs, we smile and nod, we shake a few hands, maybe a hug or two, then walk back out into our lives like nothing has happened, then we have missed the point. We might as well go to a hockey game, town council meeting, or a local bar for that matter. But if instead we come together with expectation, openness, and grace, letting down our guard before God and other people, then we're starting to get somewhere. If we're willing to humbly recognize our need for one another, our need for help, for forgiveness, for strength, for a deeper kind of life, then we'll start to grow in our relationships, allowing us to be known and to know God and to know one another authentically. And if we're willing to acknowledge our own needs, our own weaknesses, then we're able to receive support and encouragement when we need it. And to offer acceptance and help to others, right? When they need it. And in all these things, we will experience that transformative power of God's love in our lives and together as a church. Why? Because we're tapping into the very nature of God himself. In the first letter by John to the early church, he writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God, knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God doesn't just have love or show love. In his essence, he is love. God and his nature cannot be separated. To be in relationship with God through Jesus is to be in relationship with love itself. And all of history, from God's creation to his revelation, was born from and is being rooted in love, shaped by that love. God has driven, he's driven the creation of the world, and it's driven his relationship with humanity. Love has fueled God's care for his people through the tumultuous turning of this world that's been broken by sin and enslaved by death. And love has fueled the way of salvation, of redemption, in the form of Jesus, who is God with us, who chose to become one of us and suffer as one of us, and sacrificially took the place of all of us, so that we all can be completely restored by God's endless love. Love is not a side note in the story, folks. It is God's nature and his plan for this world. It is his way for his followers and the lifestyle that really should define who we are. Jesus said it best, I think, when he said, "By this one thing, everything will know that you are my disciples or my followers, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another." So it's not by our buildings. It's not by our benevolence. It's not by our ethics or our efforts. Not by our songs or our service. But by our love. We are to be recognized and known by our love. For the love that we show. For love alone is what brings us together. Love is what builds us up. And it's what binds us together. Which is our final point today. Love binds us together. I know we've already mentioned this, but it's important to reiterate that love can't be experienced alone, right? Love is something that by definition is given and shared with someone else. And Jesus knew that, and he prayed that his followers would experience that same kind of oneness, that same togetherness that he shared with the Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. He said this. He prayed this. "I'm not praying for just these followers, so those who are with them. I'm also praying for everyone else who will have faith because of what my followers will say about me. I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am one with you and you are one with me. I also want them to be one with us. Then the people of this world will believe that you sent me." That is a powerful statement, folks. When we have that togetherness, that love for one another, that oneness, Jesus said, then people will believe that you sent me. That will be the crux of the matter. That will be what will turn hearts towards me. This level of togetherness, it's not easy. It's hard to understand, to grasp. Even in our closest human relationships, this level of oneness is elusive, isn't it? We live in a world that's growing increasingly connected, while research reveals that we are feeling more and more alone. Technology has increased our ability to connect, but it has decreased the depth and authenticity of that connection in a way that leaves us feeling isolated. And if we're honest, it's not just the world of technology that's to blame. How many people go to work, go to family events, go to church even, but don't feel connected? We can be physically together, but still lack true connection and community. And that's in stark contrast, I think, to what Jesus prayed, which was his desire for his followers, that we would have that oneness together. The love between Jesus and his Father is perfect, without separation, without boundaries, without end. And while we don't even come close to that kind of love, experiencing that kind of love is the reason we come back to church. And we come together week after week. It's the reason God calls us together to grow in that level of love and togetherness. So that leads us back, I think, to the question I posed at the beginning of this lesson. How can we create an inseparable association between church and love? What does that look like here? Among ourselves, to the rest of our community, and the world around us. How do we experience love together? And how can we spread that love beyond ourselves? I don't think there's any single right answer. But as we come together in small groups, as we come together all as a whole church family, I hope this question keeps returning to our conversations and our plans. And for today, I'd like to suggest three ways that can serve maybe as starting points for us as we move forward from today, so that we can experience God's love together and live out his love day to day all around us. You can see on your outline, there are three C's listed there. And whether you're new to church or you've been here for years, these can be doors to relationship and impact. The first C is simply connection. Connection. Where are you plugging in? Where are you connected? And where would you like to be plugged in? As a church, we can be good at offering opportunities to meet together for various reasons, right? We offer connect groups, which are really different study groups or service groups or affinity groups. There are different classes, we have different activities, events, and a whole lot more. Relationship, though, is always the goal, not the task, not the event, not the thing. Relationship is the goal. But we must all take that first step. Let me encourage and challenge everyone. If you've just been filling a chair on Sunday morning, try a connect group. Plug in. Show up and plug in. Just show up and plug in. I'm confident you'll find a place of belonging, a place of growth, of service, and common purpose together. If you're already involved in some way, let me encourage and challenge you then to look around and to reach out to those who are still trying to find their place. Let's all look for ways to better love one another. and to share the love, that love beyond ourselves. So connection's first one. Second one's comfort. And I don't mean doing what's comfortable to you. I mean every single person in this room has stories of pain, of struggle, of heartache, because life is not always easy. And we all pass through seasons of difficulty and need in this normal, rough and tumble life. And in times of greater need, we need comfort from one another. As a church, we want to be there for each other, whether it's a friend needing a shoulder to cry on, visiting with shut-ins or those who are hospitalized. We are on this journey of living life together. Love binds us together and gives us opportunities to care for each other, to comfort one another in times of need, right? So our third C is collaboration. And really, collaboration is nothing more than working together for a purpose, right? From meeting others' needs, like we just mentioned, to using our skills and abilities towards a common goal or common good, we have the ability and the opportunity to serve and to make a real difference in the lives of others. This is another strength, I think, of our Connect groups and our ministry efforts. Collaboration can be focusing around a shared interest, like maybe music or art, shared experience, like a conference or a missions trip, or a common project, like cleaning up a neighborhood park, maybe providing meals for seniors or for the alpha classes, those new folk. In collaboration, we are greater than the sum of our parts. If one person had to do it all, it becomes overwhelming. But when we all plug in and collaborate together, the work not only becomes easy, it becomes fun because we're doing it with others. Yeah, we're able to find fulfillment in the expression of our God-given gifts and talents. And in doing so, we're loving God through loving one another, right? Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me." So whatever place or way you choose to plug in, it's love that guides and unifies all of our efforts together. And it's Christ living us that allows his love to grow in us and flow through us. It's always been God's plan for his love to bring us to himself, to build us up, to bind our hearts together. We can't underestimate the power and the importance of love, both within the church and in our interactions with those outside these walls. Another of Paul's letters to the early church in Corinth, he wrote this: "These three things will continue forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." Folks, the tremendous truth of the Bible is that the Bible is really God's love letter to you, to humankind. The reason behind it, the truth we find in it, is that he loves us. He loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. And he demonstrated how much he wants this, how much he loves you, when Jesus died to take the curse of sin from you that was on you. And from the moment people first turned away from God, sin brought death and destruction to this world and to our lives. But God had a plan to restore that relationship with him by dying in our place to pay once and for all death's wages. Paul explained it like this to the church in Rome. He said, "The wages of sin is death." Another place he says, we've all sinned. So that's what we all earn. We all deserve death. But He said, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Living eternally in his love. So Jesus, it says Jesus already accomplished everything necessary for you to experience eternal life with him. There's no list, if you do all these things, if you follow all these rules, then maybe I'll, okay, you're good enough. No, he said you'll never be good enough. You can't be good enough. But I am, so I'll stand in your place. He defeated sin by dying on the cross. And he defeated death by rising from the grave. All that's left for you to do is accept what he's done for you. To accept his invitation and his gift of salvation. Being saved from the punishment that you deserve. And if you're ready to do this today, just invite all of us to bow our heads together. You can just simply pray along silently with me, letting my words express the desire of your heart right now. And if that's you, could you please just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Appreciate that. And then we can pray together. Thanks. Let's pray. Dear God, I understand that if I want to experience and I want to grow in your love, then the first thing I need to do is have a relationship with you. Jesus, I now see that it was your love that led you to the cross, to die in my place, to take my sin upon yourself and suffer the death that I deserve. God, I'm sorry you had to do that. I'm sorry for ignoring you in my life. And I ask that you'll please forgive me. Because I want to accept. No, I do. I accept your invitation to believe in and follow you today. Please lead me from now on and forever. Please help me to love you more and to love the people in my life more. So that they can experience your love through me. In their lives too. Thanks, God. I don't understand it all, but I want it all. I want what you've done for me. I want to live for you. I want to be with you. And I pray all of these things in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ask the rest of the band can come back and join David here, and as they do that, if you could fill in that connect card, if you prayed that prayer for the first time that Pastor Cole mentioned at the beginning, I'd love to connect with you. I've got some resources that to help you those next steps. And as well, tomorrow night, we are starting a special class for those who may have just done that or still trying to figure out what this is all about. Like, I just need a little bit more maybe evidence or understanding behind what this is about. The Alpha class, which I mentioned earlier, is a great, great class to answer all those questions, any questions you may have. And you can sign up for that out in the foyer. And I'm sure somebody will get in contact with you and let you know how that's going to happen and what the night's going to look like. And I sure hope you'll take advantage of that. Thank you. I'm going to turn back to the band. Up with the song.